Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sharp Betting in the Morning, 7:37 on a Tuesday. Mickey speaks today. Nebraska-Indiana play a game on Saturday night. And we talked to Sam McCune of the Omaha World Herald. Good morning, Sam. Sam? We have Sam? We got Sam. You there, Sam?
I am here, yeah.
Yeah, we apologize. Our side of the console is not working, so we punched you up. Good morning. How was your trip to Chicago?
It was great. Yeah, I couldn't have drawn it up better. The two biggest plays of the game, the ones that won the game, were right in our end, and that was awesome. So, it was a great experience. I love the Bears. It's really the only team that I really follow. So, in terms of like pro sports that I truly, truly love, and so it was kind of cool to watch that. A lot of Bears fans, not thrilled with Justin Fields, but they won, and that's what matters.
Hey, kind of like the Fields, Adrian Martinez discussion all in one. How do you separate quarterback play from the coaching?
Well, I mean, at the NFL level, I think they're actually playing the way that they need to play. The Chicago team needs to play in order to win games. So I think they don't have a great team, and they know that. They're very young, and they're going to stockpile draft picks and try to build a team over the course of 4 years. And they have a GM, and the GM is really the key there. His name's Ryan Poles, the team from the Chiefs, yep. And they're going to build the team. I mean, so they're doing the best they can with what they have right now. They have no receivers. I mean, they have no good, really good receivers. So Fields doesn't have a lot to work with there. As it relates to Adrian Martinez, I was thrilled to watch him do that on Saturday. Thrilled to watch him make some plays late in that game. Like the speed that I saw from him, he seems to be a little bit down in weight, which creates that. But, I don't want to sit there and say that I saw something that I've never seen from him before. I mean, I think he did a lot of things in that game that he's done before. I think the difference is that Kansas State got off to a terrific start, and their defense in the middle of the game made some stops. It was a good football game. Even though it was 41-34, it was a heck of a football game. And then Adrian on 3rd and 16 makes a play that, to be honest with you, he has always been able to make, but hasn't always made those against the best teams. And so I was really excited to see him do that. At the end of the day, Kansas State got off to a terrific start, and they held on. That's kind of how I viewed that game. Mm-hmm. They did the right things early, and Oklahoma wasn't ready. And then by the time Oklahoma caught up, and this has happened now 3 out of the last 4 games of Kansas State and Oklahoma.
Yep.
Kansas State, has just surged in positive ways.
So before we talk the current Nebraska team and what's ahead for Indiana, quick question here on the coaching search. What do you think is going to happen now? Because between today and the day after Nebraska's season is scheduled to end, right now it's 60 days between September 27th and November 26th. Now that Trev has, this is number one on his plate, but the big announcement last week of a couple of different things, what's going to happen to the Board of Regents meeting coming up on Friday, now he can shift into full coach search. What do you think, 60 days out, his day-to-day when it comes to finding his next football coach is starting to look like?
Well, I think first you gather information. I think you watch at least one more game. Maybe you go out to that game at Rutgers. They sit in this little box right next to the press box. It's not a great stadium. Maybe you go watch that. You see those two games, see how Nebraska does. If Nebraska wins both of those games, I think you keep a mental note that Mickey Joseph has got them going a little bit. You watch that closely. You assess the team. So you kind of, split your mind a little bit. You assess the team through the next 3 weeks, see how they're doing. and you continue your coaching search process. And then I think in that bye week, you begin to accelerate, the coach search part. You know, you have to assess that. Let's say Nebraska is 1-3 right now, and at the bye week, they're 2-4. Well, you know, I'm just telling you, it's probably over for the interim. And I'm not trying to be rude or anything like that. It's just, you know, we did a story on this for Monday, and it's just, if you don't win right away, it becomes very hard to keep the team on track, especially when you start playing tougher opponents. So we'll see what happens over the next 3 weeks. If they're 4-3, then we're having a split conversation. If they're 2-4 or whatever, 2-5, then we're having a coach their conversation. They can speed that stuff up pretty quickly. Got to keep an eyeball on everybody. We're actually going to have Trev at our Big Red Breakfast on Thursday. I think we'll probably ask him kind of what his process is. We're probably not going to get into names. I don't think he'll divulge that, but I think he'll talk a little bit about his process.
Well, Sam, right? I'm glad you asked.
Big fan of Lance, Dave, Chris, Matt.
He'll have
Bill.
Some quip, though, if you did. He's like, I don't know, what does Twitter say or something like that, you know?
Oh, he will. And, you know, I think the next two weekends of games are important. This weekend is important. If Kansas beats Iowa State and you have a coach down there who's 5-0, and it's really hard to ignore that. Like, it's just hard to ignore the ties that he has to this area and his process. I think he's actually a good age. People, well, he's in his 50s. That's actually a pretty good age.
Is he 58?
He's not a kid. He's not 38. He's been around the block. He's veteran at multiple levels. Like, that's good. That's a good thing.
Hey, one thing you could add.
Go ahead.
One thing you could ask, and this is kind of, because I'm always curious, Bill O'Brien's name has been coming up here, around here, for about 10 months. And it's always, well, Trev and Bill O'Brien have a connection. And the only connection I can figure out is when Trev was working in Atlanta with CNNSI, Bill O'Brien was working his way up from a GA to a full-time guy at Georgia Tech. Were they work out in the same facility? Did Trev go to practice? Do you have any idea why that keeps coming up, that Trev and Bill O'Brien have a connection to each other?
I don't know if the deep personal connection, no. It's entirely possible they met along the way, either at a charitable function or they just got to know each other because, you know, Trev once called a Georgia Tech game, which he did way back in the day. I think Bill O'Brien had moved on by then, but, people cross paths in interesting ways. You just don't always know how it's going to happen. I'm not aware of a deep personal connection. I've heard that too, that there's a relationship there. I do think that Bill O'Brien is a Parcells-like personality. One might even say a little bit Bo-like, in the sense that he's touchy. I don't mean that in a bad way, but he likes control and he likes to have things his way. He's the guy who, before he went to Penn State and the Texans, was best known for getting in a knockdown, drag-out fight on the sidelines with Tom Brady. So, you know, like, he's a volatile personality. He has won in a lot of the places he's been. But he's going to be a very specific kind of guy, and you have to be comfortable with who he is. He's going to want a lot of control. We don't really know much about his recruiting, his ability to do that. I mean, he did some as an assistant, but his time at Penn State was very short, and ultimately he left them better than he found them because mm-hmm. of the situations that occurred under the Sandusky scandal. But, you know, there was a lot of rancor and contention on the way out. He gave an interview to David Jones. I don't know if anybody remembers this interview where he just ripped the Paterno people. And I'm not saying he shouldn't. I'm just saying that there's a Bo-like quality to him that you're going to have to manage and handle a volatility. That ultimately led to his departure in Houston. So we'll see. That wouldn't be my first pick. But I can understand why he would be very high on the list. He's a brilliant guy, and he knows how to coach quarterbacks.
Sam, I want to get to Nebraska-Indiana here in a sec, but how captivating is a stock up, stock down game like Illinois and Wisconsin for you on Saturday?
Pretty captivating,
right?
Brett Bielema's trip back to Madison. I'm sure the fans there. I think the fans. You could probably ask Andy Kenny this because he knows it much better than I do. I suspect that the fans more identify with Brett Bielema than maybe Paul Chryst, as a personality. I think one of the knocks against Chryst is, yeah, well, he wins, but he doesn't seem to enjoy anything he does. And Bielema does. I mean, that's just obvious in the way that he kind of conducts his life. So this will be an interesting game. It's a big game for Wisconsin and Paul Chryst. If Bielema goes back there with an Illinois team that nobody really expected much from and beats Wisconsin, I'm not saying that Paul Chryst is on the hot seat, but they've plateaued. And they're starting to go down the hill if they lose that game. And so, I think there's I wouldn't get rid of him, but I understand the sentiment up there is more frustrated than people may realize. Illinois has got a great defensive coordinator. He's probably going to be the head coach of Colorado next year. That's my prediction. We'll see what happens. But I suspect, Illinois has got a real chance. I still think Wisconsin will pull it out, though. I just do. I feel like they're going to find a way. Wisconsin finds ways. I don't know how.
Yes,
they do. But they find ways to win games. And I've been surprised, honestly, by some of their success in the last 3 or 4 years because I pay pretty close attention to recruiting, and I don't think they have very good players. But they have great development coaches, and I think they do a lot of good things, and they find ways to win. They don't have great receivers, for example. They just don't. But they found ways to get it done.
That only manifests itself when you play against, supremely more talented teams. There's, the Minnesotas, the Iowas, the Wisconsins. Who their players are good to? They're good to them. They're good to them because they know exactly what they want in a player to develop them. So they're much more valuable to programs like that than they are being uber talented for the free world. Because, believe me, there may be some 5-stars sitting around here, 4-stars, they couldn't function in Iowa City or Madison. You know what I mean? So it all goes together to add to internal star rankings.
I think that's a great point. I do. I certainly, Wisconsin style of play too, did a nice job of being a contrast for several years there, certainly in Nebraska. I think some teams are like Minnesota, for example, is very similar to Wisconsin in some ways. And I think it's just harder for Wisconsin to push Minnesota around because the way Minnesota practices every single day and the kind of football they play. Minnesota is now kind of the runaway leader to win the West, and PJ Fleck's done a heck of a job. You just can't. You can say what you want about him as a person, but he's got a really good way of his defense. Play very hard, and he does a good job of creating culture in his team.
Look, I'm going to give you a quick number on Minnesota. So they're number one in third down conversions. They're number one in stop rates on third down. They have 86 plays of 10 yards or more through 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And their time of possession, I had to go back and double check this yesterday. They're at 40 minutes. I mean, their first four games, the Michigan State was the most difficult opponent they played. The other three hadn't won a football game yet. But what they're doing, I don't know. Minnesota's on a different level this year than we've ever seen up there.
Agreed. The first three opponents were really bad, but no question, they're playing better football than really anybody else, and probably better than they have played up to this point under Fleck. Even their 2019 team, they won a lot of close games early in the season. I think they've got it. They've got it going. They've got the culture up there that they want. They do, in my opinion, have some really good players in certain spots. One of them got hurt, the receiver. But I've always been impressed with, the speed and the size of their players more than I have in recent years in Wisconsin. And I don't know exactly what the recruiting rankings are, but I think they do a good job of recruiting. And then he does a very, very good job of creating, you know, a culture. He just does. And,
yeah, it's
you have to tip your cap.
It's interesting because, you know, I like in Danny Collins, who's in their secondary, their coach, who's been with Coach Fleck the longest, has done he's a fantastic recruiter too. So when you're talking about messaging and culture, it's the exact same. Like, and he's the longest tenured, I think, with PJ's staff, and they sound, it's, you could just tell, like, it's a lifestyle. It's not just words, because you hear it in recruiting. You know what I mean?
I do. You know, yesterday, I think after the game against Michigan State, somebody asked him, Fleck, you know, why is defense going through the ball? And he kind of described this ideology he has about how you want to make a change and you have to create an instinct and you have to get through the boring stage of creating a habit. And if you can get past the boring stage, then you actually have the instinct and you have a good habit. A lot of people don't get past the boring stage of creating a habit. They get stuck there. Mm-hmm. And what they do in their practices is when they have a certain, you know, set of standards, things that they want to do, and they don't do them, then they just stop practice and start over. And that usually tends to create, you know, a kind of understanding that you're going to do certain things. And so the thing they do really well on defense is they get hats to the ball. They get around the ball very quickly. And I think that's something where Nebraska's really, to be honest with you, has struggled at times. And they haven't done a great job of swarming to the ball and, you know, peeling back and making plays and getting off blocks. I think some of that is because there's so much change that they haven't been able to create a culture or a standard.
Let me get to Illinois, Indiana, and Nebraska. Obviously, Shivers, and I like him at the running back spot. Little shifty guy, mm-hmm. Will be good in space. They've got to get better quarterback play. They haven't ran the ball well. I think 74th or 75th in the country. But Nebraska, with the offensive line shakeup, is going to look a little different. Where does the point of emphasis start for you, the offense or the defense?
Well, shoot. On some level, the thing that's going to change the most this week is the defense. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet. We'll have to see on Saturday. I think Bill Bush is probably finalizing his plan. But I do think they're going to try to do something different. And so when you think about the element that is the most new, that's probably it. Simultaneously, I think Indiana is a team where Nebraska can control this game by controlling the football, scoring points, and getting a couple of stops and winning the game. Like, Indiana doesn't have a great defense. That's clear. They struggled against Western Kentucky. They struggled against Idaho. And they didn't stop Cincinnati at all. So your offense has to go into that game and say, listen, you know, we've done some pretty good things this season, and we have the ability to run the football. I think they've shown that. They have the ability to throw it, both intermediate and deep. And so you go into the game plan and you say, this is a game that we're going to try to control. And we don't have to, you know, grab on to the race car and hold on. We're going to try to seize control of this game. And then, you know, you got to be mindful of the fact that Indiana has a quarterback who can he's not great, and he hasn't been great this year, but he literally throw the ball to his own balls off. Mm-hmm. So they'll throw it 70 times. I mean, if they have to, well, they're not afraid to do that. So you got to be ready for that. And sometimes teams that can do that, boy, they just give you a lot of trouble because they make you tackle in space. They make you cover. They make your defensive backs have to run a lot, and sooner or later somebody gets tired and boom, they hit a big one. So I think Nebraska's defense has to be smart and disciplined. They have to be mindful of the fact that this is a team that'll throw the ball to run it. But at the same time, if Indiana runs for, let's say, 120 yards, just 120, I like their chances of winning the game. Because that means they're controlling the ball well enough to be able to just run it, you know, a couple of times and be effective. So let's say they run it 30 times for 120 yards. Well, that's going to be tough. Nebraska might win that game. I'll tell you what, if they run it for 150, I don't think Nebraska's winning.
No.
So they have to find a way to control Indiana's run game and simultaneously on offense, you know, do what they need to do to control the game there.
Will there be at any point on Saturday night we will see Hunter Anthony outside of some short yardage goal line packages?
Yeah, I think that's possible. I think it's possible. I think that's sure. I mean, I don't know. Like I think they're going to be okay on offense at least the next 2 or 3 weeks, but we'll see. You know, hopefully they can lean on these defenses. None of the next three teams have what you would call really big, stout defenses. They're quick. They move around. If they can just lean on those guys, I think they're going to be okay there. The thing I'll be watching probably most, I do think the offensive line has not played as horribly as maybe it did at times last year. So we'll just have to see. Got to catch the ball, right? No more drops. And I think your running backs need to have a little bit of room. And Gabe Irvin's a little different than A.J. Allen, so we'll see how that goes.
Hey, Sam, let me ask you real quick, since we've had you for half an hour, which,
that's
by
right.
by the way, I appreciate it because it's good talk. If you're Nebraska's skill guys and you kind of know your head coach's temperament, how competitive do you think those positions still are?
Well, that's a really good question. I think things are still pretty competitive at running back.
Yeah.
We're going to ask about Ramir Johnson today. Now, he hobbled off, but obviously the big picture vision is not for him to play a ton. So, at receiver, you know,
isn't it crazy?
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
What I'll say about receiver is that hopefully there comes a point where, you know, there's just more clarity about who the best guys are and the most talented guys are the most consistent. And I think that's just still a question that's up in the air. But let me redial this back. It's shocking to me that Cade Warner is like the number one or number two receiver for Kansas State. Because I watched Cade for 3 years here. Great kid, smart, all those things. He had a couple drops on Saturday. And Adrian loves throwing to him. Like, Cade's one of Adrian's favorite targets. And the thing about Adrian that's still true is he doesn't like throwing the ball to guys he doesn't trust. You can see that. So he's still working on that. That's obvious to me. That, you know, he has to throw the ball to guys he likes and knows where they're going to be. And sometimes that guy's not always open.
Yep.
But, you know, I mean, Cade is the number two guy down there. And, again, Kansas State's a better football team than Nebraska. So, you know, who am I to say? But at the end of the day, I it would be good to see, because I do think Nebraska's actually got some talent at receiver. And those guys, that they would be the ones who consistently play. But we'll see what they do. I think Trey Palmer's doing fine, but at the same time, he can get better. Huge fumble in that game. Stuff that you just can't have. And receivers can't fumble the ball. That's just, especially like that. And if you get hit from behind and it's punched out, I get it. Just getting the ball ripped from you two different times, that's not good. So
it starts with getting vertical after the catch, right? The lateral stepping and the stepping back line, always looking for the big play. Just get vertical. Like, it's just amazing how much safer you keep yourself if you do the dictating.
Right.
Yep. Sam?
That's right.
Sam, we appreciate it. Thanks for the time. We'll see you this weekend.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Sam.
Sam McKeown. Hunter Anthony, 6 snaps total this year. Will he double those on Saturday?
No.
Putting that down.
12? No.
Will he get to 12 snaps total on the season?
No.
Well, that's Ben Hart is locked that position down. All right, 8:01. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Still to come, Brian Christopherson will join the show. Sharp Betting in the Morning, 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.